you for another day that you have blessed us with. We just pause in your presence, Lord. We know that you're here with us. And we just pause and just realize that you care about this meeting, and you care about it a lot. And we just thank you for each of the men that come out this morning. Just whatever they may have going on in their life, we just, Lord, we just know that that you care about that as well, and you know about it. And let us rest in the fact of that and put our trust in you. We just pray for Rick this morning as he shares, as we look at the subject of courage. We just pray, Lord, that you can just be with him. Just give him words to speak. Give us open hearts that we can just absorb the teaching, and that we can also, that we can be willing to share with the people we come in contact with throughout the day. We just commit everything to you, Lord, and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. It's good to be together this morning. And as I think of leading, of being a leader, it's hard work. How many of you would agree in the places where you have the opportunity or the responsibility to lead, that leadership is hard work? How many agree? How many of you agree that it's not quite like your children, especially your young boys, say, you know, I can't wait till I'm in charge, and then I get to say what snacks I eat and when I go to bed and what chores, right? It's not quite like that, right? Where it's just like, whoo, I'm in charge. This is great. You walk into the workplace, and you're in charge, and you have the easiest job there because you're in charge, right? Yeah, wow, that's a fitting response to that. You know, when we've done our dues, then we get to the top and we're in charge and it's a piece of cake, right? No, not at all. And because leadership is difficult, what's it take to lead? It takes courage. It takes courage. In thinking of leadership lessons from heroes of faith, we're going to look at two men today, David and Joshua, two good leaders from Scripture. David and Joshua, that's who we're going to look at today. Let me first just tell you a story. And for myself, honestly, I think the most difficult place to lead is in the home. Maybe that's because my kids are so much like their dad. No, I think it's because we go to work and we lead. We do what we need to do. And we come home and it's like, whew, right? We're done. And if you're the leader in your home, guess what happens when you get home? You're still the leader. And that's where it can be difficult. This happened quite a few years ago while our family was living in Thailand. I picked up our children at school, and I think we only had 7 children at the time. So our oldest was a daughter, and then we've had 7 sons. So at this time, we had 6 children, and I picked up my daughter and our next 4 boys all in school. And as I picked them up from school and bringing them home, and just kind of give them a heads up what's going to happen for the evening. And I told them that Mom and I talked about it, and tonight we need to do some shopping in town. And so once you get home, get changed out of your school uniforms and get your clothes on to go to town. And because we got the shopping we're going to do, we're going to eat at McDonald's. And I know McDonald's isn't a cool place to eat in America. In Thailand, it's a pretty cool place to eat, okay? In fact, when we moved to Thailand, there's just a couple McDonald's. And it was like, wow, we get to go to McDonald's, and especially the boys, like, that's great. And I figured, okay, so we're going to go shopping. No boys like to go shopping, or at least for the most part. But we're going to go to McDonald's, so we'll be happy with that. So I said, okay, get home, get changed. We're off to go shopping for the evening, but we're going to go to McDonald's. And none of the children were excited, like well, we don't want to go. We thought we were going to be home tonight. We just wanted to be at home. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I understand. Mom and I talked about the schedule for the rest of the week, and Mom's got to get groceries, so some things we got to do, and so this is the only night it really works for us to go to town, do a shopping. Man, we didn't feel like, and you know, they kind of murmur, and you know, like it says in Israel, they murmured in their tents. They were murmuring in the van, not really excited about this. Hey, we are going to McDonald's, so it'll be all right. That didn't make it all right. Until we got home, my five children were like, they're not happy about tonight. They're kind of grouchy. And when you get grouchy, you know, your attitude is kind of an aroma that just kind of goes before you as you walk. And so till they got inside the house and my wife was down in the living room and they came in and she could just kind of smell and feel the aroma of their attitudes, till I came in, she's like, honey, I don't think I want to go to town tonight. You know, you throw eight of us into this minivan and we've got bad attitudes, it's going to really stink in there, right? So it's like, she said, I don't think I want to go. That's how it's going to be. And I'm like, well, but if we don't go, when are we going to do this? Like, I thought we were going to do this tonight. Well, yeah, that's true. My children were convinced we shouldn't go. They don't want to go. My wife's saying, I don't think I want to go now. But none of them said, okay, Dad, this is what we're going to do. None of them said, let's just take a vote. They all just kind of waited. So what are we going to do? And guess who has to make the call? Life's not fair, right? I've got to say, here's what we're going to do. And my wife, who had agreed with me, yeah, we should go, she said, I don't think I want to go. But if I say, okay, fine, none of you guys want to go, we're just going to stay home. Now, what are we going to do for supper? My wife's nothing prepared for supper. And tomorrow, when it comes time to pack lunches, hey, we need food. We need to go shopping. What are we going to do? But if I say, okay, I think we need to go. Well, that's just because you think we should go, but none of us want to go. Yeah. Wow, it takes courage to lead. It takes courage to lead. The first king of Israel was Saul. His start was well, but it soon turned bad. And God said, I'm going to seek me out a man who's better than Saul. That man is David. Now, if you understand throughout the Old Testament, the way you become king is your dad's king, right? So how's David going to become king? Obviously, God sends Samuel to anoint him, but how is Israel going to recognize David as that's king material? Well, we have a story in 1 Samuel chapter 17 that talks about this. Before we do this, let's just look at three questions here that we as leaders are tempted to ask ourselves. Three questions that come up as we lead, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's at home, whether it's at school, wherever it may be. Am I a leader? You know, for myself as a leader, sometimes, well, am I really a leader? When I'm struggling with making decisions, am I a leader? Are there risks in being a leader? Maybe you want to step out and lead in starting something, doing something. It's like, but are there risks in this? How about this one? Will I make mistakes as a leader? You know, a question like that can paralyze you. Will I make mistakes? You know what the answer to this is for every one of these questions? It's yes. You are a leader. God has created you to be a leader. Are there risks in leading? Of course there's risk. When you're in front, there's going to be risk as you lead. Will I make mistakes? Yes, you will make mistakes. Every one of us as leaders, we make mistakes. There's no perfect leader. In fact, the two leaders we look at today, David and Joshua, they made some pretty big mistakes. Does that keep God from calling them and using them? No. The question that we need to ask ourselves and to wrestle with is this one. Do I have courage as a leader? Do I have courage as a leader? Because that's what it takes to lead. It takes courage. It's not about, am I a leader or are there risks or am I going to make a mistake? But do I have the courage to lead? So David is anointed to be the second king of Israel. He's to take Saul's place, but how is Israel going to identify him? Well, in 1 Samuel 17, we have the story where David is sent by his father to check on his brothers in the Valley of Elah, and Israel is fighting the Philistines, and David's supposed to come, and he brings him lunch and to check on them, see how everything's going. And while he's there talking with his brothers, Goliath comes out and gives his charge, his challenge to all the men of Israel. And everybody's afraid and kind of runs back and hides. And David's like, you know, what's going on? And Goliath, in his challenge, mocks the God of Israel. And David's like, well, aren't we going to do anything about this? And his big brothers who are there, who probably, if David's family was a normal family, and that's pretty much all the kind of families there are, how many times did he get picked on and beat up by his big brothers, right? We don't have those in Scripture, but you know that happened. Any of you that are little brothers, you know that. And all of us who are big brothers, we know we did it, right? And his big brothers, they run and they're afraid. And it's like, isn't somebody going to challenge him? They're like, you go home, you little brat. Why are you here asking these kind of questions? And David's like, no, somebody's got to do something about this. And we know the story of David fighting Goliath, but did you think about how this came to be? David's like, well, if nobody's going to do it, I'll do it. David didn't come to the battle of Elah saying, you know what? I'm going to show people that I've got courage. No, not at all. He just came to check on his brothers. And when he came, he entered an environment of fear. And everybody's afraid. And when David said, hey, I'll do it, there was so much fear there. There was so much of a need for courage that they listened to the kid. Like, when did his big brother say, you know what, we're too afraid to do this. Little brother, would you do it for us? Never. Never happened, guarantee you, until this day. And they take him serious enough that they bring him before Saul and say, you know what, we actually found a boy here that will fight this battle for us. Because, see, this was a one-on-one show here. Goliath said, hey, let's just do it like this. Not everybody has to break a sweat. But you send your best man to fight me, and if your best man kills me, then you guys win. Oh, wow, that's nice. Let's do it that way. Except Israel's best, biggest, strongest man was scared. You know who that biggest, strongest man was? It was Saul. David goes to Saul, or that he's brought before him. Picture this. When Saul was anointed king, it says that he stood a head taller than everybody else. So he's the closest to Goliath's size. Saul takes his armor and puts it on this kid, David. Here, you go with this. He's so big and David is so small that the armor weighs him down. He's like, no, I can't fight with this on. Can you just think about this? What is going through Saul's mind? I'm going to put my army in the hands of this kid and he's going to wear my armor. Did it not occur to him that maybe I should go fight this battle? And wouldn't that have been the appropriate thing for a leader to do, to go himself? But he didn't, because he was afraid. And that day, when David went out to the Valley of Elah and he challenged Goliath, everyone in Israel saw David as a leader. Why? He didn't become a leader that day, but his courage marked him as one. David fought Goliath because he had courage. The rest of the men didn't. You know, wasn't God on Israel's side? Wouldn't have God helped David's big brothers? Wouldn't have he helped Saul? They weren't going to do it because they had fear. So let's write this down. When David came to the battlefield to bring lunch to his brother to check on them, he entered an environment of fear. Everyone's scared of Saul. And where there is fear, there's great opportunity for what? For courage. There's great opportunity for courage. David enters an environment of fear, and there's opportunity for courage. I wonder how many of us are hindered in our leadership because of fear. It takes courage to lead. Now, it's important to note this about David, okay? David's courage didn't make him the leader. Okay, you had the most courage, now you're the leader. No, it didn't make him the leader, it just marked him as one. Okay? Because you see, as a leader, you have to have courage to lead. A coward cannot lead. You have to have courage. You don't have to have, I'm sorry, you can have courage and still be a great follower. But you cannot be a leader in the absence of courage. So when David leads, showed all Israel, there's a leader, a man of courage. Let's write something else down here. Leadership is established through courage. Leadership is established through courage. You see, if someone doesn't have courage, no one's going to follow. Leadership is established through courage. Let's write something else down. A leader sees an opportunity and then seizes it. David saw this opportunity here. Here's an opportunity. Somebody's got to do something about this. Nobody's taking this. I'll do it. A leader sees an opportunity, then seizes it, which takes courage. A leader is the one who has the courage to act on what needs to be done, to act on what he sees. Now, this next thought here is encouraging to me, and I think it'll be for most of you too, okay? A leader doesn't have to be the most talented or the gifted one in the organization, in the company, in the church, in the wherever, okay? But a leader always will be the one with the courage, okay? You don't have to be the most talented, the most gifted, but a leader can take what other people within the organization are seeing and saying and say, okay, let's act on it. In fact, that's the beauty of leadership and using it as a team perspective is I can take what we're talking about here and let's move forward with it. And you can bring it to a conclusion or to a point of action and say, okay, let's go for it now. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to have all the talents, all the gifts. In fact, God, I think, intentionally set that up so that none of us would be lifted up and think that, you know what, I've got it all together. It really takes a team to do things well. A leader isn't always the most insightful or the most talented or gifted, but he will be the one with courage. When David killed Goliath that day in the Valley of Elah, before that, all Israel was afraid. But when Goliath went down, something changed in the atmosphere on Israel's side. And all of a sudden, when Goliath went down, the men of Israel came out from inside their tents or behind the trees or wherever they were hiding, and they're ready to fight. You see, courage is enabling. Let's write that down. Courage is enabling. David's courage enabled the rest of Israel to come out and act. David's act of courage enabled the rest of the men of Israel to move forward with courage. And that's how David gets on the map in Israel. And you follow David's story from there, people noticed, that's David. And then even the women began to write songs and sing songs about David. You know, Saul's killed 1,000, David is 10,000. Saul took David after that time, and he makes him in charge of his armies. Why? Because he knew he's a leader. He became a leader that day? No. His courage marked him as, there's a leader. Now, that's our intro into David and how his courage marked him and set the stage for him to become a leader in Israel. I'd like us to shift to a second leader and then just look at how do we get courage. So how do we get courage? Because I need courage to lead. And one day you may feel like, you know, I'm on top of the world. I can lead in my home, in my workplace, in ministry, or wherever you're called to lead. And the next day it's like, wow, life is just hard. I don't think I can do this. So how do we get courage? To do this, I invite you to turn, if you have your Bible, to Joshua chapter 1, and we're just going to look briefly at Joshua and see, here's how Joshua was to get courage to lead. Joshua comes on the scene as being the replacement for Moses. And I didn't think about this till now, but David was a replacement for Saul, and he realized what a difficult job he was having. Joshua was a replacement for Moses. And he's, in a sense, to finish the job, to bring the children of Israel on into the promised land. Joshua has been a servant for Moses for the past number of years, so he understands what he's facing. Like, he was in the study with Moses in processing, like, how do we lead this stiff-necked people? And he saw all their murmuring and complaining. So it's not like Joshua is looking at the children of Israel and saying, you know what? I just can't wait till Moses is finished and I get to take over. This is going to be great. No, you're leading a group of people that, you know, are stiff-necked, hard-headed people that are, you know, up like this and then down like that. What would you tell somebody that you want to lead this group of people? And it's no secret. Like, God isn't going to gloss this job over. He can't. He's like, Joshua's been there, has seen it, right? As I look at Joshua's life, you could say, Joshua, you're the man for this. You've been ministering with Moses. You're serving with him. You understand what needs to happen. You're the man for the job. Joshua, you have the gifts needed for this. You know, there's a whole lot of things we could say that maybe would speak courage into Joshua. You've got the experience necessary. Yep, go for it. But that is not what God told Joshua, okay? Three times within four verses, Joshua is told, have courage, have courage. When God calls Joshua, his message to him is not, you can do it, I've prepared you, you've got what it takes. And those are all good things that we like to hear as leaders. But just listen, let me read Joshua chapter 1. Let me just read the first 9 verses of God's call for Joshua. And then we'll write down 3 things as to how we get courage. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon have I given to you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites unto the great sea, the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto the fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not to it from the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper whithersoever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and have a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. 3 things I see here as to how God was telling Joshua to get courage, and I want us to write these down, okay? First one is this. Actually, let's just write this down. Why do we need courage as leaders? Why do we need courage? Leading isn't easy. That's why we need courage. Leading is not easy. So how do we go about getting courage? How do we go about getting courage? Number one, remember, God has called you. That was God's words to Joshua. Have not I commanded you? I have called you. The opportunities, the places that you are leading, God has given you those opportunities. As we learned way back in session 1, that leadership is a stewardship. It's given to us by who? By God. So if God has given you this opportunity to lead, it's He that has called you there. That's the reason for courage, because God has called you to a job. God's not in the habit of calling you to fail. God's not trying to set you up to fail. So God's first words to Joshua is, remember, I've called you, okay? Remember, I've called you. To me, that applies to me. I've called you to be a husband, to be a dad. I've called you to these positions of leadership. The second is also a remember. Remember, I'm going to be with you. I find this significant, this point. Write it down and then let's just think about this a little bit here. When God called Moses and said, I want you to go bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And so this is just ahead of this story, right? He calls them. Moses says, who am I that I should do this? Moses doesn't have the courage. And what did God tell him? Certainly, I will be with you. That was the answer to the question, who am I? You see, what can cause us to wallow in fear as leaders is a looking at ourselves. Who am I? And what God told Moses, I'm going to be with you. Don't worry about the who you are. I'm going to be with you. Now when God calls Joshua, what's he tell him? I'm going to be with you. And then he just takes him back to what he told Moses by the burning bush. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Was there ever a time when Moses couldn't find God and God didn't show up and he was left on it? No. Certainly, I will be with you. Those were the words to Moses. That's the words to Joshua. I believe that's the words to you and I as leaders. If you are leading in a place, in a position, an opportunity that God has given you, you take courage, not in who you are, but in the fact that God's with you. Certainly, I will be with you. And then the third way that we get courage is meditate. Joshua is told to meditate on the word of God. So you've heard what I've told Moses, what he's commanded the people, so you need to meditate from verse 8. Meditate on my word. Psalms 1 tells us that those who meditate on the word of God will be successful. And we as leaders, we want to be successful. Meditate on the word of God. Now, I want us to note that of these three points here, you look at these three here, all of these come from God, not yourself or those you lead. Remember, God's called you. Remember, God's with you. And meditate on my words. Who of us can't do that? He's not calling us to something within or something that we've done or something you go do. God is saying, if I've called you to this task, and for Joshua, it is. I think for David, you could look through this, and David had checked all these off. He knew that God has called him. He knew God's with him, and he meditated on God's word, and he had courage. Joshua had courage. He followed these three things, and I believe that as you and I remember, God's called me, God's with me, and then as I meditate in God's word, I can have courage. What will your courage do for someone else? There's a part in David's story that's not a very good part. It's of his sin with Bathsheba, and then his sin of trying to cover up his sin with Bathsheba, and he has her husband Uriah the Hittite, has him killed in battle, and then he marries Bathsheba, and everything is going to go fine, right? No, it's not. You cover sin, you will not prosper. And so that's where we find David later on in his life. And David is just trying to keep this image that, he's a leader following God when he's hidden sin. What does David need? He needs somebody to come to him and say, David, you sinned. And praise God, David is a leader that when he's confronted, he confessed. Leaders will make mistakes. We acknowledge that. What we need to do is acknowledge when we did, and David will do that, but who is going to go to David and say, David, you've sinned? If he's already killed one of his best men to cover his sin, I don't think you want to be the guy to say, David, that's you. Mm-mm. When Nathan the prophet went to David, was that not a great act of courage? And Nathan's act of courage spared David. And today we remember David as a man after God's own heart, a great leader of God. Look what Nathan's courage did for David. I wonder today what your act of courage could do for the people under your leadership. Courage, the mark of a leader. It doesn't make you a leader. It simply marks you as one. It's something that every leader must have, is courage. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And as we think about the need for courage, leadership is not easy. And there are so many different brothers here listening today that you're speaking to. And as they think about the places, the opportunities that you've given them to lead, and the need for courage, I pray that you would just minister to them, and that they would hear you saying to them, just like you did to Moses and to Joshua, certainly I will be with you. Our courage doesn't come from who we are. It comes from knowing that you've called us, you're with us. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Our discussion questions real quickly before we're going to go to groups. On a scale of 1 to 10, where would you rate your level of courage? Oh, you really have to do that? I think that'd be healthy for you, okay? That'd be a great thing to start off a small group. Secondly, what area of your leadership do you struggle the most with having courage? Okay? In what realm of leadership? That, I think, would be a good thing to discuss. And then this one brings some good perspective to us. We don't want to be foolish or brash in our leading. So how do we make sure our courage is paired with wisdom and humility? Ah. You see, in the name of courage, you don't want to just be this leader that says, hey, I'm going to be courageous and I'm going to do it. So I think those are some things that would be helpful for you to discuss.